Okay, we're going to take your phone calls, questions for William Buhlman, or perhaps you want to share your strange OBE story with us. Was it an accident? Did it occur? Were you in an operating room? We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, William Buhlman. William, do you think Hollywood has kind of overemphasized things, the angelic realm, the spiritual realm, the demonic realm? Or do you think it's kind of fascinating?
Oh, I think they've misinterpreted the entire nature of reality. I think the whole demonic thing is stretched to the ridiculous point. I've never experienced anything demonic. I get very few letters. The ones I do receive of people that experience negative entities, I'm sure they're interpreting it that way. There's a lot more going on than just that simplistic view of the universe.
I haven't had anything demonic happen to me either. So there's two of us, but maybe we lead a different kind of life.
Well, I believe there's negative and positive states of consciousness, and I believe that people can be influenced. So I'm not totally naive to the fact of that. I'm not stating that the world is all wonderful and airy-fairy. That's not the case. But I don't believe in the devil, for instance. I found no evidence to support that. There's many cultures that other religions don't even haven't created such a device. That was a Christian creation. It was an interpretation, and I have not seen anything any evidence of that in my 35 years of experiences.
Okay. That's fascinating. Okay, to the phones, boy, you'd be a great one for a debate.
Well, I'd be debating from an experiential viewpoint, not just a belief viewpoint.
Right.
So that's quite a different viewpoint.
Of course, that's what gives your side a fascinating twist, William.
Remember, beliefs are the big millstone around all of humanity. Fear-based beliefs are really what stop people from having OBEs. That's the thing I'm always fighting in my books and in my lectures and everywhere I go. We have become a fear-based society, and unfortunately, Hollywood contributes to that with this Constantine crap. And I mean, it's just baloney. I mean, that there's you watch TV or movies, and you'd swear that there's devils and demons under every couch, and it's not the case.
Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on with William Buhlman on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
I had an out-of-body experience, or maybe near death.
Sure.
I had gotten very, very sick, and I didn't know I was about to die, but I was getting ready to go to the ER, and I tried to stand up off the foot of the bed to finish getting dressed, and I stood up out of my body twice in a row, and everything became black and white. I felt light as a, helium balloon. It was kind of dark, and I realized I just stood up out of my body. I tried to turn back to look at myself, and in a blink of an eye, I was still sitting on the bed and opened my eyes. And it happened. It started to happen a second time. And the weird thing is, as weak as I was, I couldn't stand up. I would fall over. I have to lean on the walls to walk. So how I stood up, and then if I was out of my body, how I didn't roll off, fall off the bed, I don't understand, but I truly believe in OBEs.
What do you think happened to him, William?
Well, that's a classic OBE, especially low energy. A lot of people in the first year, their first experiences, and they're very low energy experiences. The black and white is very much the case. I generally perceive, especially after I initially make the separation, is very much a black and white environment. But the low energy thing is fascinating because that's commonly reported. I talk about how to increase your energy level during an OBE, and that is because the reason that you're sluggish, and this is probably the number one problem in OBEs besides fear-based issues, it's because you don't have enough consciousness in your astral body. In whatever that energy body that you're utilizing when you were out of body, you then the way to to change this and to rectify it would just be to say awareness, think awareness now. And you would draw more consciousness into that energy body, and you would become lighter, and you would be able to move and walk. But this lack of mobility is a common problem in OBEs, and it scares some people because they don't understand why. They're out of their body, but they're very much sluggish, and or they're crawling on the floor sometimes. And the experience is not at all like the Shirley MacLaine, I'm floating above my body.
Right.
That's one thing I like to get across. We haven't discussed the realities of OBEs. Most OBEs are very mundane. You may roll out of your body. You may crawl out of my. You may sink through the and end up in the basement. It's not bouncing on the ceiling all the time, like you relate in your experience. But it's all of the above. Anything can happen, but often it's initially a low energy experience. And another thing is to move away from your body and to use an affirmation, awareness now or clarity now, something that will bring more energy. And you will immediately feel more consciousness, more bright, more aware. And you'll be able to move very quickly beyond that room.
Why do some people, William, report being rammed back into their bodies upon realizing there's something strange going on?
Because of fear. Fear is the biggest problem. Remember, we relate to our bodies as us. It's sad but true. And because of that, many people, especially in the initial phase, they leave their body, and then the realization hits them, oh, my God. You know, in our culture, many people relate that as death. And it's not, but that's the first thing many people think, oh, my God, I'm dead, bang. And any random thought, if you're out of body, directed to your body, will send you back. There's one rule in out-of-body exploration, and that is never direct your thoughts to your body. Forget about your body, because any random thought will bring you back.
Slam you back, won't it?
Slam you back, oh, and very hard.
The feeling that you have right before you fall asleep, where you feel this jarring effect sometimes, is that because you are leaving your physical body? And maybe you realize it or something, and you come ramming back down?
Absolutely. Everybody's experienced that floating sensation, and then suddenly you're in a dream, let's say, and then suddenly you feel you've just fell from the ceiling all the way into your body. Everybody, that's a universal experience. And often we perceive it as a dream. We may have perceived it as I was flying or I was falling off a cliff or whatever. But actually, you were out of body, and that's just your mind's interpretation of that transition back to your body.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hello there.
Good evening, George.
Hi.
Hi, William. How are you doing?
Oh, just great.
I have two things real quick. My own experience, and then I want to agree with you on you're talking about the animals having a soul. Mine, George, was like yours. It happened to me one time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 19, I thought I was dreaming, but I wasn't. I rose up out of my body, right through the roof. I could see the house, and it was enjoyable, and I kept going up and up, and to the point where I could see the horizon of the earth. And at that moment, like William said, I got scared, and I'll never forget the feeling of slamming back into my body and my heart just pounding out of my chest. As I came out of it, and it totally freaked me out, and it was unlike anything I've ever had before, where I dream all the time that I'm flying, like along a riverbed with trees, and it's sunny, and it's beautiful. I even practice landing in my dreams, you know, where I stand right on my feet. Those were pleasant, but this thing was unlike anything I'd ever had before. Is that what you guys have experienced?
Oh, absolutely. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the quintessential experience. It's universal. The thing is, people have to get over their fear. Once you get over those first few experiences, then you lose the fear and you can continue the journey. That's when it gets exciting. And you begin to control it.
I wish I could do that, like I could control my dreams of flying, but I've never experienced the part where I knew I was going up and way out. And the other thing I was going to tell you about is I saw it on the Discovery Channel or Learning Channel, one of those, was, you know, experiencing her cat that had died, and her parents had thought that she had lost it and even sent her to a psychiatrist and everything. And then they ended up taking photographs using infrared or something, and lo and behold, there was the cat in her arms. I mean, they had a regular picture and then those, and it was there.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you ever see that?
Yes, I have. I've personally experienced that because I was a cat owner, and my deceased cat used to sleep with me for, my God, a decade.
Would you see paw prints on the bed?
I could feel the cat literally walking on the bed. It was that physical-like. And it would snuggle up to my face.
Yeah.
And a lot of people experience this, and they don't talk about it because it sounds like, oh, God, people think I'm crazy. But this happens all the time, cats and dogs especially. They're very much loyal to their owner or their friend. I shouldn't say owner because, of course, that's not the case.
Right.
And they stick together. You know, that's your buddy. And just because there's a little vibrational difference, they're snuggling up. Their astral body is snuggling up to your astral body.
How about sleep paralysis as confused with astral projection or vice versa?
Well, sleep paralysis is part of the prelude to an out-of-body experience. It's part of that transition of consciousness. You have to transfer consciousness to have an out-of-body experience from your physical to, of course, a higher vibrational body that people call astral. And during that transition is when you get that classic total, you can't move your body. And a lot of people, that terrifies people. And one of the things I've tried to make clear in my books is that's just normal. It's nothing to be afraid of. Just go with it. Enjoy it. All of the vibrational state phenomena that's so common. The key to really OBEs is to not only to learn about this, but then to accept it and appreciate it. I enjoy the vibrational state. I enjoy paralysis. I enjoy that roaring sound that goes through me. I enjoy all these aspects. And I don't, in other words, once you get over that fear, that's when you can really begin to have multiple experiences. Because we're naturally, you know, think about it. Their physical is not our, this is not us. It's not our home. Our natural state is non-physical consciousness. So we're, through an out-of-body experience, we're only reverting back to what we really are.
That's where we started.
That's the natural. The OBE state is much more natural state than the physical body. The physical body is just a temporary, unnatural state, and that we'll discard. And so that's the way I look at it, and that mindset helps me and others to have multiple experiences.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
Hi, it's Linda from Temecula, and I've never had an out-of-body experience, but I've read a lot about it because it's really fascinating. But I was wondering if you've ever observed a deceased person or animal without the astral cord, because my fear is that the astral cord is a mechanism that emanates from the physical body that maybe is the ultimate survival mechanism, meaning that, you know, it prevents you from knowing that you may actually die.
The astral beings that I encountered, and I've encountered many of them, I've never seen cords attached to any of them, if I understand your question. I wouldn't be too hung up on this cord idea. I don't think, number one, the cord is, it can't be broken per se. So there's no fear that should be directed around that subject. It's not really an issue to be concerned with.
But do you believe it is there?
I've experienced it early on.
But not all the time,
right?
I
haven't experienced it in the last 15 years. But I did in the first 5 years of my out-of-body experiences.
I wonder why not. Where does it go?
I tell you the truth, I don't know. It also could be that I'm moving to a higher vibrational body that's not attached to that cord. That's how I would perceive it. I have no use for the cord.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Where are you calling from?
Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Okay, sir.
Excellent show. Thanks for the presentation, William.
Sure thing.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I've got a question to ask, but I've got to set it up with some premise stuff. I know everybody on the show has heard of the Princeton eggs, which are basically quantum random number generators sitting in a box. Now, these are just reverse biased diodes or transistors, and the other place you would have heard of this is Frank's box, okay?
Yeah.
So Frank's box runs off of a random number generator, and the Princeton eggs run off a random number generator. The interesting thing is the Princeton eggs respond to events. That's been seen. Frank's box apparently talked to the dead, a.k.a. talking to other spirits. So this clearly lays out for us that our quantum physics, what we call noise, because we don't have any other way of quantifying it in physics, is activity on different levels. So like a camera on a street corner in another dimension. It looks random to you, but if they want to shake it and touch it, they can. They can interface with it. So very interesting. Some layout for that. Now, time. Ed Dames, contrary to what he says, the future is not written, although it's set up such that it will appear that way. And you can see a certain amount into the future, a couple hours, I believe. I'm just setting this up. One interesting experiment that would be really cool for you to do, set up a weigh scale, and when you're doing your out-of-body, see if your weight changes. It'd be nice if there's any sleep researchers out there listening to.
Well, there is some research that when you die, scientists found a very minute amount of weight was gone.
Exactly. So now when you're out of your out-of-body, it'd be interesting for somebody to do that. Now, the other one that's really interesting, apparently, is sleepwalking, to weigh people while they're sleepwalking. So if there's any researchers out there listening, you might find some really cool things doing that. Now, by the way, why we have such a akin to animals is because, as far as I understand, the evolution of soul material starts out in animals. They're basically our forefathers. Now, setting all this up, here's the question. Have you noticed a time... See, it's going to be hard because when you're in that experience, have you noticed any time differentials or time offsets between the earthly realm and the astral?
Oh, my God, yeah, it's huge.
Okay.
Because time doesn't... I've experienced, and this is difficult to convey, I've had out-of-body experience where I lived an entire life in 5 physical minutes. And to me, it was an entire lifetime. That's how meaningless our concept of time is. And I've done this on many occasions, have these enter into a state of, I don't know exactly what segment of what dimension I'm in, but my God, it's, you literally, time is becomes meaningless. I've also had multiple, matter of fact, the book I'm working on now, one of the things I've been exploring for 15 years is just exploring my own timeline through reincarnation.
William, stay with us. We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls and final OBE stories. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. What a fascinating program. Now, William's website is www.out-of-body.com. But he's got a toll-free number for those of you who don't have a computer and you want information on his work, his several books, his DVDs, and information like that. Call 1-800-426-3917. That's 1-800-426-3917. Well, you might would assume, and as you said earlier on, you believe that there is extraterrestrial life out there, that those beings also go through the same metamorphosis with OBEs?
Absolutely. I feel strongly that that's the case. This is universal. Doesn't matter what planet or solar system you're on. We're all evolving inwardly to a non-form-based form of consciousness.
All right, let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on with us. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going? I'd like to share an experience and see if there's any, I guess if you have any advice. I have been dabbling with out-of-the-body experiences, and I do recall conducting a session. And I did acquire the vibrational state, and then in that vibrational state, I asked myself or my higher self or whatever was out there to show me the secrets of the universe. And then I just remember an extreme mass of like static filling my head, and I guess it was like cussing me out. I can't say it on the air, but it was going like, mother effer. And it was very terrifying. And about a week after that, I remember just seeing shadow creatures all over my house about a week after that. And I couldn't exit my body after that. And I was just wondering if I had probably opened a negative doorway. See, I don't think I was living a negative life back then.
No, that's just a fear-based reaction to the form-based are just astral entities. When you leave your body, you definitely attract beings or people all around you. Sometimes when I have an out-of-body experience, I think I'm entering a circus surrounded by 10 people. Asking me questions, and there's ways of handling this that I cover in my workshops. And it's not a matter of what kind of life you're living; it's your perception of what happened. I think you have to. Sometimes you just have to get back on the horse and ride it. You know, it's just because you had that one experience. Remember, you're interpreting all of this. That's your mind's interpretation.
And that's what it really comes down to. Wildcard line, you're on with us. Hello there.
Hey, George, this is an absolute honor. I just want to thank you for doing what you do.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. William, this is fascinating. I have a couple questions for you, and I think you kind of touched up on it a little earlier. First one is this. Ever since I was a child, I would have these dreams of floating. And, I mean, they were so surreal that, I mean, I could feel myself take off, fly around. I had absolute control over everything that I was doing, and it went away for me many years ago. I can't do it anymore. But is that considered an out-of-body experience from that perspective? Also, my second question is, from the time that I was a child up until even last night, I do experience the vibrations, the noises, sometimes even borderline screams, which is really, you know, somewhat disturbing at times. But I am trying desperately to get to that out-of-body experience. And I guess from that position of the vibrations, how do I get there? What do I do?
Okay. One of the biggest problems or mistakes people make is that they linger in the vibrational state. And I think this was the previous caller has an issue that it relates to this. When you enter the vibrational state, many people freeze because it's so alien to them. Suddenly you feel like you're just being torn apart. You're hearing all kinds of strange sounds. There could be, again, like screams, or all of that is all part of the vibrational state. The key is to, once you enter it, you have to move through it. You don't linger there. You direct your awareness. You allow it to expand throughout your entire being, and then you direct your consciousness. I think door now, or wall now, window now. I move my awareness beyond my body.
So it
will not happen automatically. You're not just automatically going to float up to the ceiling. That's not the way it works. Because of this mold effect that George and I talked about earlier, you're stuck there. This is a huge problem that I deal with on a regular basis in my in emails and communication with people. Because of this energy mold issue, we have to break through. And that the one way to do it is to roll. Just roll sideways, and that will help break that energy mold. And once you break it, then the experiences become easy. Because it's a conditioning. You, like I said to George earlier, you know, we have decades of conditioning that we're this mass. And once you break through that, everything becomes easier. But
okay,
I would recommend rolling sideways and
okay,
directing
your consciousness. What if you are experiencing sleep paralysis at that point?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
What if you're like in a state of paralysis at that point?
That's fine. The paralysis has nothing to do with your astral body, remember. Paralysis is great. You want your body, because that's just your physical body.
Right, so I guess you're talking on the mental perspective of rolling sideways. So.
Oh, yes, I'm talking strictly mental, yes.
Okay, that,
yes,
that makes
you want
sense.
To direct your astral body, your energy body, away from your physical body. The paralysis is to be expected. That's your physical body paralysis. You don't need that energy form right now. So it's immobile. That's what happens during every out-of-body experience.
Wonderful.
And it feels alien at first, but you get used to it. You actually get to the point where I enjoy that. I enjoy the paralysis. I enjoy all that stuff because I know I'm ready to move beyond it. It's a long
getting ready
pad.
To move too. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hi there.
Yeah, I was wondering, during an old BE there, can you direct that to, like, other people that are living, like, to their dreams or their subconscious by any chance?
There is a lot of information I've had personal experience with this. It gets pretty, this is a big subject. That's why I'm wondering how to approach it. Yes, which if I go out of body and I talk to you in a dream state, you mm-hmm. will still remember it as a dream.
Okay.
Even though I may be conscious talking to you, I can actually participate and manipulate your dreams.
Hmm.
I know it sounds strange, but it happens all the time. People enter your dreams all the time, and it's your interpretation. I'm sure we've all had dreams where we have dreams of our deceased mothers or loved ones. Okay. That's common. What's happening? Are we making it up, or is that an objective experience? I feel many of these are objective experiences. Your loved ones are contacting you. A dream is an altered state of consciousness, meaning you're more open to receive their information. And that is when the best time is to contact you and to talk to you and try to give you a message, like if wherever, a parting. Raymond Moody writes about this a lot in his books.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a very powerful way to accomplish many, many things you need to do in life, William.
Yes, it's a very powerful way to communicate with people, and it's universal. But unfortunately, most people are closed to it.
You know, when I wanted jobs when I was a kid or younger, I would concentrate on that prospective employer and think about him and just let it go in my dream state. Just let it go. And sure enough, well, I'm not kidding, like 2 days later, that individual would call me out of the blue and would say, hey, we got an opening. Why don't you send us a resume? And 9 out of 10 times I got that job. And I think I only got it because I concentrated on that person.
Absolutely. This is the basis of what people perceive as magic. When you go out of body, you can manipulate. I know this sounds a little strange, but you can actually create your own future. I've done it in my travels. I've pictured myself traveling the world, and now I travel the world. I did it inwardly first. I created my travels inwardly. I went to Angkor Wat. I went to the Great Wall. I went to these places on the astral plane before I did it in the physical.
It works when you don't push it.
Yes, you just do it. Just allow it to happen.
Yeah, and when you push it, it never happens. It doesn't seem to happen, at least for me.
And you have to be open to receive.
Yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of people, they wish things, but they're closed to them. You really have to be open. I write about this a lot in my books, that it's so important to be open to receive. And we close ourselves and we don't even know we have.
Well, and you have to be ready. If you want to end up being a great auto mechanic and you want a job at a great dealership, let's say, and they call you, well, you better be ready in terms of being a good auto mechanic.
Yeah.
you have to train yourself, because the worst thing that could happen is these things will come your way and you won't be primed for it.
Yeah. But we create this comes down to the nature of creation. We create our reality by the way we focus our thoughts. And throughout a body experience is another tool to focus our thoughts and mold the substructure of our physical world, which is the astral plane. A classic example of this is once I had an out-of-body experience and I saw a cruise ship, and I didn't know the meaning of it. And then that was maybe 4 months later, I got a call from Inner Voyage for me to do a speaking engagement on a cruise ship. And I didn't even realize what I was doing, but I was seeing my future when I was out-of-body.
We have free choice, and that's what's so important.
Oh, absolutely.
Go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Take it away, and where might you be?
I am in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin.
Okay, sir.
When I was a kid, I don't know how old. I'm going to guess 5 or 6. I remember floating down the stairs, and I was, like, flying down them, you know, like you would see Superman flying or whatever. And I don't know. I got downstairs, and I started talking to people. I don't remember much more of it, but is part of the fear thing, because I had like, oh, I can only what to describe, like little ping pong balls. I felt like thousands of these things were coming at me. And is that something with the fear or what? I mean,
it also
like
could be
little balls of light or something, but they look like ping pong balls, you know?
Well, it goes back to that's your interpretation. It could be many things. It could be other states of consciousness. It could be thought forms. It could be actually several different things. But it's definitely ping pong balls is your mind's interpretation of something that's obviously not that. If it's light, it's probably consciousness of some kind. Because we're living in a sea of consciousness. Everything is conscious. And we seem to separate ourselves from things, but everything is connected. So when you leave your body, you really begin to feel that. Things come to you really quickly. People will come to you, loved ones that are maybe deceased. Things happen very quickly, and you have to really get your feet. That's what I say, move away from your body 10 feet at least, and then use a technique I call just awareness now to gain more consciousness in that energy body. So you're more aware of everything. And I use that as a mantra during my experiences. That's one way you can prolong your experiences too and begin to really get the most out of them. Awareness now is a mantra. And always tack on now, because subconscious now is the only reality. So that really helps to allow you to get the full benefit from your experiences.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Carl, and I'm calling from Oahu, Hawaii, and I'm really enjoying your show. However, I have a couple of questions. This out-of-body experience, can I experience that with another individual?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
I have a lot of well-known people have written about this, including Richard Bach in Bridge Across Forever. He talks about having out-of-body experiences with his wife. And, I'm not the only one writing about this. That's quite common. A lot of people have quite sensual experiences out of body, and it gets quite interesting. There's no limit. So people have I almost put a chapter into one of my books just on sex, because there was so many. I have so many experiences that people have sent me with it, but I just decided not to, and also I didn't have the room. But it would have made a great chapter. But a lot of people have experiences with loved ones, girlfriends, when they have an out-of-body experience. It's quite common.
Okay, thanks for that call. East of the Rockies, you're up. Hello there.
Oh, hello. Hi, George. Hi. I'm Jackie calling from Toronto. I wanted to tell your guest that I share his belief system completely. I was just wondering, I've never been able to get this question answered. I know we come back reincarnated to learn lessons. You know, in one life you're bad. You learn that that's not good. You come back, you learn to be a good person. Now, I've never been able to get a clear idea as to how does the metaphysical plane view suicide? Do they view that as an abomination and you should never do it? Or how would you not know that in this particular life, that's what you're supposed to do?
That's a good question. And to be quite honest, I don't really know for sure.
Oh.
I've heard... I don't, for number one, I don't believe in hell as such.
No.
So I don't believe, I think you definitely ended an experience that that you've ended your opportunity. When you commit suicide, you've destroyed a physical body
mm-hmm.
that was your learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So there is certainly bad karma attached to that, to put it in terms that everybody understands. And so I feel that there is definitely a negative issue surrounding this to some degree. But
yeah.
I don't think it's I don't believe in any kind of abomination or hellish result of that.
Yeah, no,
like
I didn't
know
either.
The Catholic Church says you go to hell immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't buy that at all.
No, actually, when you're talking about the astral plane, that's about how I've always viewed what's going to happen to me between lives. I'm going to be flitting around, and I'm hoping to have a lot of what you couldn't put in your book. I'm hoping that I'm just flitting around and flying there in my ethereal body and sharing myself with friends and whatever. that would be my dream of being between life experience.
Sharing yourself with friends. I guess that can be done. Let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. Hi there.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you guys tonight?
Good, sir.
Fantastic. I wanted to say, ever since I was 15 years old, I'm going to be 26 on Sundays. For the past 11 years, I've noticed that I have an effect on street lamps in particular. It's a profound effect. And electronics, turning off the TV if I get in a certain emotional state instead of the other. My question to you is, do people in the physical body put off an electrical frequency that is different of others if they are more in tune to experience maybe a higher level of OBE?
Definitely. I even have a question on my survey related to this. I can't wear a watch. I've tried. I keep on buying them. A day, they're done. I notice that I have a definite, I'm very sensitive to electrical fields. I distort the TV when I get close to it. I mean, it's almost a joke in my family. You know, I said, don't get near him. You kill your watch, you know, stuff like that. I don't know exactly what it is, though. I don't know, because there's some kind of, you know, obviously there's science to it. But we have a strong energy field, and having OBEs does something to our energy field. Being psychic does also. But I don't know what that is. You know, if I don't know it, I'll tell you. But there's an impact that I don't quite understand. But you're right. It definitely is it changes your electrical field. But I don't know exactly how.
William, we are running out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the program. Your website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Toll-free number for people who are interested in your work, 800-426-3917. Thank you, William.
George, the number is 888.
888?
Yes.
They gave it to me as 800. Good. 1-888-426-3917. 1-888-426-3917. Thanks, William.
Okay, thanks a lot, George.
For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.